We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. On today's show, a belated Thanksgiving message. Something that we can all be thankful for, whether you're a believer or a skeptic. Atheists around the world are now saying that we all need to be thankful for Christianity. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome to today's edition of The Rebellion. It's the Monday after Thanksgiving, and I have a belated Thanksgiving message for you. I neglected to do a Thanksgiving show last week. Actually, a mea culpa here, a self-disclosure. I actually forgot that I wasn't supposed to be on the radio show or on the radio station on Thanksgiving morning. It dawned on me late Wednesday night that, I've got the day off. So forgive me for not even acknowledging Thanksgiving last week, because we all have a great deal to be thankful for. We live in the United States and we enjoy more freedoms. We still enjoy a great deal of liberty that other people around the world can't even dream of. And we need to be grateful for that. And there's one thing that has led to that freedom that even atheists around the world are starting to acknowledge. And that thing is Christianity, the biblical worldview, the worldview that understands the origin of man, the nature of man, the redemption of man, and the responsibility of man, and answers those questions rightly. Atheists who don't even understand or acknowledge that God exists are now starting to come out and forthrightly say that Christianity may be the only context for a free people, a free society, a free country, and a free civilization. We'll talk about this and more today on The Rebellion. But first, remember that if you'd like to subscribe to The Rebellion, you can do so by going to patreon.com/DREVERETTPIPER. patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper. That's the way you subscribe to The Rebellion. And also remember, when you listen to the show, don't just listen to it and move on. Download it. Download your favorite episodes of The Rebellion and then post them out there in your social media platforms, Twitter, Parler, Facebook, whatnot. That way, our algorithms go up and we get more listeners. We're gaining ground exponentially right now. I'm very pleased with the number of new listeners that are coming on board. We started out during the first month of broadcasting with only maybe 400 people during that first month listening to the show. We're now up to over 10,000 listening to the show in a given month. And I think at the end of November, when I look at the analytics again, I expect it to go up even well above the 10,000 mark. So again, thank you for listening. We need more subscribers to The Rebellion, and we also need you to download episodes that you enjoy the most and then post them out there in your social media world. Thank you for doing so. And remember that if you want to listen to The Rebellion live Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Central Time, you can do so by going to KOKL Radio, and their website is Listen to the Brew, one word, Listen to the Brew, B-R-E-W, listentothebrew.com. One more time, listentothebrew.com, one word. That's the website for KOKL Radio, and The Rebellion is a live radio, talk radio show every Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Central Time. Let's get back to today's topic. This past week, and I talked about this briefly before Thanksgiving, but I'm going to get into it in great detail and depth today. There's a Republican pollster by the name of Patrick Ruffini who tweeted this past week something that's fascinating, and that's going to be the context for what I want to talk to you about today on the show. Here's his tweet. What Republicans need to replace Trump is not a wet blanket. One more time. What Republicans need to replace Trump is not a wet blanket. Trump will always be with us, Ruffini says, until someone else steps up who can fight smarter. And then he adds, when conservatives don't fight for ideological first principles like they used to, fighting for nonsense is what fills the void. This is a very shrewd tweet, and it's loaded with a lot of wisdom. So I'm going to read it to you one more time, and then we're going to pick it apart. And I'm going to do so in the context of an article that was written in The Stream this past week with regard to atheists affirming the biblical worldview, affirming Christianity. One more time, on Republican pollster Patrick Ruffini. And if you want to know how to spell that, and if you want to follow him, it's R-U-F-F-I-N-I, Patrick Ruffini. He recently tweeted this: what Republicans need to replace Trump is not a wet blanket. Trump will always be with us until someone steps up who can fight smarter. When conservatives don't fight for ideological first principles like they used to, fighting for nonsense is what fills the void. Close quote. Patrick Ruffini. So we need to ask ourselves this very basic question. When he refers to ideological first principles, what's he talking about? What are those first principles and what do they look like? Well, here's an interesting thing. Historian Tom Holland, who is an avowed atheist, gives us the answer. He says those first principles are and look like, you ready? Christianity. Tom Holland, a historian and atheist, says that the first principles for a free society are Christianity. This is where it's summarized in terms of what Holland's new book, Dominion, How the Christian Revolution Remade the World, actually makes this claim. There's an excellent article out here recently that was written for The Stream. The author is Jonathan Van Maren, V-A-N-M-A-R-E-N. Van Maren has an excellent article that he wrote for The Stream just last week, where he summarizes Tom Holland's newest book, and I already gave you the title, Dominion, How the Christian Revolution Remade the World. He summarizes that book as follows. I quote, Holland's book comes as something as a surprise for several reasons. First, Tom Holland is not a Christian. And second, Dominion is one of the most ambitious historical defenses of Christianity in a very long time. Van Maren then goes on and says this in his article. While studying the ancient world, Holland realized something. Simply, the ancients were cruel and their values utterly foreign to him. The Spartans routinely murdered imperfect children. The bodies of slaves were treated like outlets for physical pleasure of those with power. Infanticide was common. The poor and the weak had no rights. I've covered all this stuff with you in previous shows. The ancient world was a barbaric world. It was a cruel world. Slavery was common practice all over the world in almost every culture. Rape was common because women could be used as sexual slaves by those who had the money to buy them and had the power to subvert them. Children that weren't wanted were put on garbage heaps. The practice was called exposure. In fact, the early Christians went out to the garbage dumps and retrieved and rescued these children that had just been discarded because they were unwanted, either because they were female and the Romans didn't want, or the Greeks didn't want, or whatever power and civilization the early church was involved with, that power and that civilization didn't want females, they wanted males, they wanted boys. Therefore, they would discard the female child if it was one girl too many, or if there was any physical deformity in whatever way, the child was often just thrown into the garbage, alive. They didn't even bother to kill the child first. They just threw the child out to die from, quote-unquote, exposure. So when Holland was researching the ancient world, he concluded that they were cruel and they had values utterly foreign to him. The Spartans, for example, murdered imperfect children. I just summarized that. The bodies of slaves were treated like outlets of physical pleasure for those with money and power. Infanticide was common. The poor and the weak had no rights. Slavery was rampant. So the question is, how did we get from there to here? It was Christianity. Christianity revolutionized sex and marriage, demanding that men control themselves and prohibiting all forms of rape. It's Christianity that made that wrong, declared that to be evil, and outlawed it and made it illegal. Christianity confined sexuality within monogamy. Huh, that's a novel idea, isn't it? Christianity elevated women as the result of getting sex under control. In short, Christianity utterly transformed the world. This is what Van Maren says in his article. He then goes on and he concludes this. In fact, Holland points out that without Christianity, the Western world would not exist. Even the claims of the social justice warriors who despise the faith of their ancestors rest on the foundation of Judeo-Christian values. One more time. Even the claims of the social justice warriors who despise the faith of their ancestors rest on the foundation of Judeo-Christian values. Those who make arguments based on love and tolerance and compassion, for example, are borrowing fundamentally Christian arguments. Love and tolerance, compassion are Christian values. They're Christian arguments that didn't exist prior to Christendom. If the West had not become Christian, says Van Maren, and says Holland, no one would have gotten woke. Holland's passionate defense, says Van Maren, of Christianity is fascinating because it appears to be part of a trend. As the West becomes definitively post-Christian, many secularists are suddenly realizing that Christianity may have been more valuable than what they thought. While many, including Holland, cannot quite bring themselves to believe Christianity is true, they are starting to believe that Christianity might be necessary. Close quote. That is fascinating. Atheists like Tom Holland are concluding that even if I don't believe that Christianity is true, it might be necessary if we're going to be able to survive as free-thinking human beings. Van Maren also cites another atheist. His name is Douglas Murray, who recently argued that society now stands on the precipice of three stark but clear options. Option number one is to reject the idea that all human life is precious. Option number two is to work furiously, this is a quote from Douglas Murray, an atheist, work furiously to find some way to assert an atheist version of the sanctity of the individual. Or option number three, according to Douglas Murray, and likely the inevitable option. If option number two doesn't work, quote, there is only one other place to go, which is back to faith, whether we like it or not. So I want you to hear those three options from an atheist one more time, and then we'll take a break. Douglas Murray, an atheist who has recently argued that society now stands on the precipice of three stark but clear options. The first is to reject the idea that all human life is precious. The second is to work furiously to find some way to assert an atheist version of the sanctity of the individual. The third and likely inevitable option is this. If option number two doesn't work, Murray says there's only one other place to go, which is back to faith, whether we like it or not. Close quote. Let's take a break right now, and when we get back, I'm going to tell you about another atheist, a London Times writer, who has said that he believes, as an atheist, that the only solution is Christian evangelism. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. Welcome back to The Rebellion. So in the first half of the show, we talked about this tweet that was put out by Patrick Ruffini, where he said, "What Republicans need to replace Donald Trump is not a wet blanket. We need someone who understands the virtue of fighting, somebody who is a pit bull, somebody who is tenacious. We don't need milquetoast. We don't need a wet blanket. And in fact, if that's where the GOP goes, to somebody who just gives a great big group hug and wants to reach across the aisle and compromise rather than have courage, then the GOP and the conservative movement will fail. The magic of Donald Trump is that he has been a fighter. And Donald Trump will always be with us until somebody steps forward who understands, number one, the value of the fight, but number two, is able to do it and committed to doing it, has the skills, the courage, and the guts to do it smarter than Donald Trump. No wet blanket will suffice. We need courage. We need courage. We need conviction. We need somebody who understands first principles and is willing to fight for them. And what are those first principles? Well, in the first half of the show, I summarized it. You have people like Tom Holland and Douglas Murray who are arguing as atheists that those first principles are Christianity. Well, there's another atheist out there, and he's been a writer for the London Times. His name is Matthew Paris. He echoed the exact same sentiments in his 2008 essay that I've covered several weeks ago on this show, but you may have forgotten it. It's very pertinent to this discussion, so I'm going to circle back and revisit it. He said this, "As an atheist, I truly believe Africa needs God." And then he went on in his article in the London Times in 2008, and he said, "As a confirmed atheist, I've become convinced," let me back up, "as a confirmed atheist, I've become convinced of the enormous contribution that Christian evangelism makes in Africa. Government projects alone will not do. Education and training alone will not do. In Africa, Christianity changes people's hearts. It brings a spiritual transformation. The rebirth is real. The change is good. Those who want Africa to walk tall must not kid themselves. Removing Christian evangelism from the African equation may leave the continent at the mercy of a malign fusion of Nike, the witch doctor, the mobile phone, and the machete." Nike, the witch doctor, the mobile phone, and the machete. Close quote. Matthew Paris, London Times, 2008. A confirmed and well-known atheist in the United Kingdom and elsewhere. That is a shocking quote, and a quote that frankly tells all. I'm going to read parts of it one more time so you can really digest it. "As a confirmed atheist, I've become convinced that the enormous contribution that Christian evangelism makes in Africa is critical. Government projects alone won't do. Education and training alone won't do. Christianity changes people's hearts. Christianity brings spiritual transformation. The rebirth of Christianity is real. The change that comes about from Christianity is good. Those who want Africa to walk tall, and insert any other country, those who want America to walk tall, must not kid themselves. Removing Christian evangelism from the African equation or the American equation will leave the continent at the mercy of the malign fusion of Nike, the witch doctor, the mobile phone, and the machete." What was his point? What's Matthew Paris's point? That the genocide of Rwanda was inevitable if all the Rwandan citizens had to hope for was the fashion of Nike or the fake religion of the witch doctor or the technological addiction that comes with the mobile phone or the violence and the power that comes from the use of the machete. That the genocide was inevitable and that the only thing that could save Rwanda and the rest of the African continent from such a fate was Christian evangelism. And this comes from a very well-known and outspoken atheist. So here's the point. Patrick Ruffini is absolutely right. America does not need, nor does it want, the pallid milquetoast of a Joe Biden and a bunch of complicit rhinos. A bunch of appeasers who seek to blend in with everything that is woke while refusing to condemn anything, that is wrong. Our country is not interested in wet blankets. Donald Trump will only be replaced by someone who is ready to fight, someone who is willing to give his or her all for our nation's ideological first things. A leader smart enough to understand what atheists like Holland and Murray and Paris understand, and who is not ashamed to say it. America's first principles are Christian. If atheists like Holland and Murray and Paris are saying it, where is the church? Where is the evangelical leader? Where is the Orthodox Catholic? Where is the Orthodox Christian? The pastor, the preacher, the priest? Where are the people, the Christian laymen, who are willing to step forward into the gap and fill the void, not with the nonsense that Ruffini predicts and warns of, but for the sense, the common sense, the historical sense of Christian virtue, Christian charity, Christian hope, and the only peace that mankind can ever truly enjoy, and that's Christian peace, the peace of Christ. Those are America's first principles. Our nation does stand on the precipice. Millions are begging for a leader willing to talk, not of soft soap and wishful thinking, to quote C.S. Lewis, but of the terrifying person of Christ. Not of comfort, but of courage. Not of tolerance, but of truth. Not of safety, but freedom. Someone who understands and shouts with the words of Dorothy Sayers that I quoted to you last week from Creed or Chaos, her 1949 seminal work. Creed or Chaos, Dorothy Sayers, an outspoken Christian scholar and thinker from Oxford in the 1930s and 40s. A contemporary of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, Dorothy Sayers, read her work. Creed or Chaos is a good place to start. Dorothy Sayers, I believe it is a grave mistake to present Christianity as something charming and popular with no offense in it. Seeing that Christ went about the world giving the most violent offense to all kinds of people, and that he was so stiff in his opinions and so inflammatory in his language that he was thrown out of church, stoned, hunted, and finally gibbeted as a firebrand in a public danger, nobody need be surprised that a determined preaching of Christianity, Christian dogma, may sometimes result in a few angry letters. Whatever his piece was, it was not the piece of an amiable indifference. Close quote. This is a quote that makes the price of admission worth it. This quote from Dorothy Sayers summarizes it all. It plays off perfectly from Patrick Ruffini's warning. The GOP, the Republican Party, the conservative movement, is not interested in milquetoast vanilla. Like I said in an earlier show, if you want to be a leader, sell a flavor. Don't sell vanilla. You can get vanilla on any corner. If people want vanilla ice cream, they don't need to go anyplace special to get it. They can get it anywhere. But if you want them to come to your store to buy your product, then sell them something bold and distinct and unique. Something that has flavor, not something that's pallid and milquetoast and vanilla. America doesn't need a wet blanket. America needs a leader. Back to the quote from John Wesley. Attribution has been questioned, and we can debate that at a different time. But it is said that John Wesley once said, "Set yourself afire with enthusiasm, and people will come from miles around just to watch you burn." Enthusiasm, passion, commitment, strength, courage, fire. Set yourself on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come from miles around just to watch you burn. America does not need a wet blanket. America needs fire, passion, enthusiasm, conviction, courage. We don't need safe spaces. We need free spaces. We don't need people to comfort us. We need people to confront us. We don't need more complicity and appeasement. We need conviction and courage. And we will follow a leader who exemplifies all of these things. And that was the magic of Donald Trump. Flawed as he may be, the man knew how to fight. And people will follow a fighter. Joe Biden is going to fail. Joe Biden and his administration are going to be looking over their shoulder all of the time, trying to find someone else to blame, somebody else to accuse as being the problem. Somebody else to point a finger at, rather than looking in the mirror and accepting the responsibility for their own failed policies. And the leader who is going to be victorious is the one who points out those failures in bold, stark, clear terms, fiery, passionate terms, not looking somehow to be nice about it. We don't need nice guys. We need strong Churchillian leaders. Dorothy Sayers, one more time. Creed or Chaos, 1949. I believe it is a grave mistake to present Christianity as something charming and popular with no offense in it. Seeing that Christ went about the world giving the most violent offense to all kinds of people, and that he was so stiff in his opinions and so inflammatory in his language that he was thrown out of church, stoned, hunted, and finally gibbeted as a firebrand in public danger. Nobody need be surprised that a determined preaching of Christianity, Christian dogma, may sometimes result in a few angry letters. Whatever his piece was, whatever the piece of Christ was, it was not the piece of an amiable indifference. Amiable indifference does not inspire anybody. But inflammatory, fiery leadership. Christ was gibbeted as a firebrand and a public danger. And the message of the Word made flesh and dwelling among us changed the world. Holland admits it. Murray admits it. Matthew Perry admits it. These atheists are telling us that the only salvation for the human being and for culture and for civilization is Christianity. A bold, clear, unwavering conviction of Christian virtue and Christian principles. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes the world. That's the kind of leadership that will replace Donald Trump, and nothing short of that will suffice. People don't want a wet blanket. They want clear, bold, smarter leadership. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.